Okay, can we show the next slide? Because then we can see what the results are. There you go. It's very exciting. So 66 of you have participated. We've got an average score of 5.7 in the room. But you can see from the wiggle, there is more of you who perhaps are a little bit over five. But anyway, it's all good. So just to check in, how resilient are you today? Just to get a little bit of a feel and perhaps hold that in your mind as we continue with the rest of our talk. So I'm going to move on. So during our time together this afternoon, we're going to be looking at exploring spiritual aspects of resilience and how our beliefs and practices can help to avoid burnout in life, leadership, and ministry. So as I've shared, I've been involved in Christian ministry in a variety of settings, probably over the last 30 years. But I think the last 10 have been particularly significant for me in growing my understanding and practice of intentionally integrating my Christian beliefs and spiritual practices into my daily life and to help me build and maintain my own resilience. And this has really stemmed from my sense of call to care for church leaders and my awareness of the risks of stress, of isolation, and of burnout in ministry. Whether you're full-time or whether you're in a voluntary position, both come with their challenges, stresses, and strains. I was sharing with someone earlier that actually I think sometimes when you're not in a full-time paid sort of position, perhaps you've got a full-time job and you're doing leadership, that actually comes with extra strain because your day off, your Sabbath, is usually taken up. And so it can be, you're giving out a lot. You're giving out a lot. And I think that got highlighted to me when I was in church leadership. I served in the eldership on our church for a time. And I was really excited when I first joined. I was very enthusiastic about encouraging my church to pray. But I found quite quickly that I was overwhelmed with the pastoral issues and the business of church. And because I hadn't taken the time to think about my spiritual life in an intentional way, I kind of did it. I mean, I loved to pray, I read my Bible, but I hadn't sat down and thought about how significant it was in maintaining my resilience. It kind of slipped, and I found that actually, rather than praying more, I was praying less. And it was quite tough. So I think it's really important to have time to kind of intentionally think about how you want to look after yourself spiritually. So why? Well, I've mentioned the word resilience. So just to give some definitions so you know what I'm talking about. Being resilient doesn't mean we find life easy or it's without its challenges or hardships. We all know that ministry is tough, and there are many demands on our time, our physical energy, our emotions, our mental life, and our spiritual fuel tank. So UNICEF define resilience as the ability to anticipate, withstand, and bounce back from external pressures and shocks, which I think is a great definition. But I think actually, as Christians, it can be helpful to think of it like this. Resilience is having strength to fulfill the call God has given us, even when it will be painful and difficult. Resilience is staying fixed on a higher purpose, motivated by love of God, our neighbor, and the world, and supported by friends. While others let us down, we are carried by the one who has called us. Why do we talk about resilience? Resilience is really important because ministry is not only demanding on ourselves, but also those that are around us and also our families. There is a real risk of compassion fatigue, vicarious trauma, and burnout if we don't intentionally look after ourselves. So just compassion fatigue is that sense of you've given out, and then you kind of get a bit fed up of it. It's just exhausting. And it's quite common, you know. It's hard if you're giving out all the time and you're not refueling in some way. Vicarious trauma simply means that you're traumatised by hearing the stories that other people have experienced trauma, as it were. Okay, so you're kind of, you've got secondary trauma. It's not happened to you, but it's traumatising to keep hearing those very difficult stories. So as a counsellor, I'm really fortunate that being a member of the BACP, the British Association of Counselling and Psychotherapists, we have to have an hour and a half of supervision every month. We have to have it as part of how we look after ourselves. But actually, in ministry, that's not the case. And actually, there's a lot of similarity, really, in what counsellors do and what people in ministry do. You're listening to a lot of stories. For me, I can speak to my supervisor, I can reflect, I can offload, I am supported to enable me to hold those difficult issues and walk with people through their trauma and pain. But as I said, in ministry, it's not always the case. And that's something to perhaps think about as we go on. What do you need to be well supported in your ministry, wherever that might be? So burnout, because I've mentioned that again, good to have a definition of what we're talking about. Burnout often comes from a result of chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. We can become cynical, sceptical, doubtful, distrustful, suspicious. We can become numb. We lack feeling and empathy. We lack care. We lack love for people. We can feel exhausted. Emotionally, mentally, physically, and we can become ineffective. We work hard, but our efforts don't really produce anything. Again, I think this is a slightly different definition, but I think really helpful, that burnout is what happens when our inner walk with God isn't sufficient to sustain our outer work for God. And I think that's a really helpful definition just to reflect on. What are you receiving? How are you filling yourself up, fueling yourself to enable yourself to then give out? So as I was preparing to speak today, and I was thinking about this, the theme of awakening, the verse from Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, came to my mind. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. And I think a simple truth that I think is really important that came to my mind was that God wants us to be living sacrifices and not dead ones. He wants us to be fully alive, not tired, not weary, not burnt out. He wants us to be awake. He wants us to be not exhausted from doing too much for too long, too quickly. And so he wants to transform us, body, mind, heart, and spirit. He wants us to grow us up, as it were, to be spiritually and emotionally mature, able to hold healthy boundaries and develop sustainable patterns of living to love him, serve him, and those that we are called to live fulfilling lives. And this is a different pattern to the world, which would encourage us to work longer, harder, and faster. So there we're going to look at spiritual resilience, but actually there are different aspects of resilience. Mental, physical, emotional, and social and systemic resilience. Mental resilience
is our ability to process and have a healthy perspective to challenge, change and conflict. Emotional would be our ability to acknowledge and express our feelings in a healthy way. Physical resilience, our body's ability to adapt to the challenges, maintain stamina and strength, and recover quickly and efficiently. And this one, I think, is often forgotten about, actually, in some ways. Social and systemic, it's not something I've actually seen written much about. It's our ability to build and maintain friendships and relationships and cope well with the environments we are living and working in. I think that the social aspect is really important in ministry because we can become very isolated, especially when you're hearing stories that perhaps you have to keep confidential, even with friendships, perhaps the boundaries, you need to be careful what you're sharing. It can be really important to think about who are your go-to people, who are the people that you can talk to about the stresses and strains of life and ministry. So there are different aspects of resilience, but they are all intertwined around the essential strand of spiritual resilience, which is at the centre of our design. Spiritual resilience, as followers of Jesus, is the foundation of everything. Everything is built on and around. So, for example, mental and physical resilience are intertwined because our biblical understanding, our theology about work, rest and play influences the choices we make in how we look after our bodies, preventing and managing physical illness, exercise and relaxation, which in turn impacts our mental resilience, as it's really hard to think rationally and clearly when we're tired, stressed or traumatised. Mental and emotional resilience go hand in hand, as our thought life has a ripple effect on how we feel. Our mental resilience is influenced by our beliefs, our ability to step back and take a God perspective when facing challenges, change and conflict. And our mental resilience can be built as we decide to take hold of our thought life and bring it under the authority of God. So as we consecrate our mental life to God, our memory, understanding, our imagination, our interpretation of life events. That's why I prayed at the beginning about just consecrating our minds to God. It just brings his authority over everything. So how we process life and interpret events through our faith lens has a ripple effect on our emotional resilience. Knowing that God, knowing the truth about who God is and who we are in God, the bigger picture of what God is doing in the world will impact how we feel. And so learning to notice our emotions, express our feelings but not be governed by them, again brings our emotions to God as part of growing emotional resilience. So it's all kind of intertwined, and there's a lot that we could talk about today, but we are going to focus in on spiritual resilience. But before we do that, another question. There we go. Belonging. So I'm going to come to another mentee question in a moment. But a key part of spiritual resilience is belonging. It's one of our thriving principles. So at Thrive, we have 9 individual thriving principles. This is one of them. It's central to thriving and resilience because one of the things, it's part of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We can see just here, love and belonging. It's really important. And often we talk about belonging in terms of our sense of belonging to our friends, family, community, or the teams that we're part of. But as followers of Jesus, our most important sense of belonging comes from our belonging to God. Our most important sense of belonging comes from our belonging to God. And so my question is, what word or phrase do you think of when you think about the word belonging? Now, let me just let you look at the next question. There we go. So just have a little think. What word or phrase comes to mind when you think about the word belonging? Just give you your gut reaction. 1 minute, just to pop that into the chat. Yeah, sorry. For those who haven't looked, I haven't got it up, it's menti.com again, 88 90 41. Oh, right, okay. Is anybody still needing the code up? Otherwise I'll show the results, because it's quite fun to see them all come in. Can you see? Okay, I think we can go to the next slide. So as you're popping your... there we go, this is what's coming through. As you think about belonging, family, so the bigger the word, the more people have put that word in. Ooh. Okay. Family, accepted, home, community, loved, acceptance, security. Those are key ones that are coming up. We've also got family, friends, fellowship, relationships, orphans no more, treasured, church. Okay. I have to really watch carefully because it keeps changing. So I hope you, that's great. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing those. Always going to keep moving, isn't it? Okay. So, yeah. So we can see the big ones: accepted, family, home, security, community, love, safety, acceptance, safe, church. That's lovely. Okay, so just to hold that in mind when we think about belonging. Okay, I'm going to go on to the next slide. I think. Is it okay if I go to the next slide? Aha, okay. So, when we think about how we belong to others, it can be helpful to consider how we build relationships in terms of attachment. Are we able to build secure attachments to others? So when we have a secure attachment, we usually feel safe, secure, and confident that our needs can be met. We are able to trust others, and we are comfortable being with others, but equally comfortable being alone. We can ask for help and support when we need it, and we are willing to grow through facing the challenges and problems that we have. We generally have a positive view of ourselves, and we're able to regulate and express our emotions when we have a secure attachment. I just shared a verse there. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Secure attachment. So what has belonging and secure attachment got to do with spiritual resilience? I think a really key verse as we think about our spiritual resilience is from John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Other translations, so I looked up in different Bibles, remain in me, abide in me, stay united with me, remain joined to me, continue in me, dwell in me. Spiritual resilience is very much connected to our secure attachment to God, our belonging to him. So how do we belong to God? How do we attach to him? How do we remain in him? So there's something about the intentional choices we make to build and maintain our relationship with God and our awareness of God as we walk with him day by day through sacred pathways of prayer, worship, the word, Sabbath, stillness, and silence, our practices of gratitude, of forgiveness of others, and other creative ways that we connect with God, practicing the presence of God in our daily lives, whether we are washing up, pulling up weeds in the garden, fixing the car, or doing the DIY. It's the decisions we make in terms of where we decide to put our roots, where we choose to plant ourselves. So, as we think about remaining in the vine, what helps you to belong, to attach to God? We're going to do Menti, but we're going to do it a slightly different way this time. I'd like you just to turn to the people around you, perhaps two or three, and have some time, 5 minutes or so, 5-10 minutes, just to talk about this, okay? What helps you to attach, to belong, attach, connect to God in your daily life? What helps you, okay? So, I'll see how you get on. 5-10 minutes to discuss that with each other. And then if you feedback on Menti so we can see what everyone's talking about. Okay. I think... Oh, can you hear me? Can they hear me? Okay, we're going to come back together. I have to pause your conversations. You'll get a chance to have another chat in a few minutes' time, okay? So, thank you so much for sharing what you've been talking about, and it's great to see all the different ways that we belong. That helps us to belong, attach, connect to God. We've got prayer, obviously, right and smack bang in the middle, and worship. Fellowship, talking to God, and nature. Nature is just amazing, isn't it? I just think there's just walking in nature. I know for me, I've had a bit of a thing about feathers. Just that you see them and they can just remind you of Bible verses, just word of God. It just is just lovely. And even stone, like if you're on a beach or you stones that are heart shapes and things like that, just... If you intentionally are looking for God and listening, it's amazing how he just can speak through all sorts of different things. One surprising way, actually, he spoke to me during COVID, seems a long time ago now. My husband loves a project. And I think as many people in the UK decided that we would do a garden project. And... he decided he wanted to build a patio. It was really interesting because I wasn't that keen. it was really interesting because we had to dig the foundations and we had to crush stone and it took forever. But it really spoke to me about foundations in God, that sometimes we have to clear the rubbish out and we have to reset things. And it was surprising how he spoke to me through bricks and cement and stuff. But he does, doesn't he? He can speak through all sorts of different things. So spiritual resilience, yes, it is prayer, but perhaps not sometimes how we imagine sitting quietly. It can be, and that's very important, having stillness, but it can be in very active ways as well. The ones that I spotted, which I, again, perhaps because I think it's great, I think it was like running with God, I think I saw, which is fabulous. Oh, no more! I don't even get to see it! Yes, spending time noticing. Yeah, just noticing. Hospitality, solitude, creativity. Going on a run with God. I love that. Bible studies, singing, worship songs, reading your Bible, thanking God for things. So there's so many different ways, and that's because we're all unique. So with spiritual resilience, there isn't a 10-point step. There isn't a way to follow. If I do these 10 things, then I'll be spiritually resilient. We're all created in a unique way, so it will be different for all of us. So I won't write a book about this, because you can't say if you do this, this and this, then you'll be spiritual. You can't. The Holy Spirit is so creative, can't be contained. So it's you as you get to know God and how he speaks to you. That's the key, knowing him personally. I'm going to move on. Okay. Just as I was preparing for this, I just wanted to just flag up a couple of resources which I found really helpful. One is a book, which unfortunately I don't think it's in the bookshop, Resilience in Life and Faith, Finding Your Strength in God, Tony Horsfall and Debbie Hawker. Debbie Hawker's my supervisor. She's an amazing lady, a clinical psychologist, been a missionary. Lovely book, very practical, but also spiritual. So they've kind of got a mixture of... the sort of psychology, but then some Bible studies. So I've got my copy. I've got my copy here. So if anybody wants to have a little look, feel free afterwards. The other one is an app. I don't know if any of you have heard of the Pause app. It's designed by a guy called John Eldridge, who actually also wrote a book called Resilient, which is the app's based on. And it's a lovely app because it gives pauses. It gives a one-minute pause if you're very busy, or perhaps you want to have a little pause with God between two jobs, as it were. And it's also got this 30 Days to Resilience, which is a fantastic kind of morning and evening reflections, building on the different aspects of resilience and really rooting ourselves in God and in our relationship with him. So those are my two kind of like go-tos. For myself, but the Pause app, I can't speak more highly about. I think it's fantastic. Okay. It's coming up to 5. We've got 15 minutes left, so I'm going to have another little question, but I just wanted to just check. Has anybody got any questions so far that they want to ask me now or after? I will be around at the end, but I just want to just check if there's any burning questions before I go on to the final leg. No, I just want to check. Okay. All right, I'm going to be around afterwards, so I won't be rushing off. And we're on stand 50 next to the bookshop, so do feel free, if you've got anything you want to talk about, to pop by. Okay. So really, what is important with spiritual resilience is our spiritual trellis. So if we think about a vine, the way a vine produces the most fruit is if it has a trellis, if it has a support. So we need to think about what kind of spiritual trellis do we need? to build and maintain our spiritual resilience. So we need to be intentional about protecting our time with God, remaining in Him, nurturing our relationship with Him, so we maintain that attachment and build our sense of belonging to Him. Again, there's lots of different ways of doing that, depending on how you enjoy being with God. It's creative. There is a flow of the Holy Spirit through it all. There isn't a one-size-fits-all. So think of yourself as the vine. Think about the grapes that you want to produce. And think about what trellis do you need in place. So I'm just going to ask a few questions just to get you thinking. And this is something perhaps to take home with you to think about what you need. What time do you need to intentionally set aside to maintain your attachment to God, to deepen your relationship with Him so you can receive His love, hear His voice, and know Him more intimately? What time do you need to really guard that is like this is unmovable? What spiritual rhythms do you need in your day to produce good wine that can be poured out into your ministry? I've been quite challenged by the Pause app because it talks about a morning and evening, but actually I think if I want to really remain in God, I probably need one in the middle of the day as well, and I probably need one in between all the busyness, because you can kind of forget about Him, go, oh, you're God. Yeah. But actually, so to pause is just bring us back to him. That's what grows the resilience, staying really close. What people do you need to connect with for encouragement, for accountability, for processing life and ministry matters? As Catherine mentioned earlier, we do pastoral supervision at Thrive. We also do coaching. But it might be, you know, do you need to find a mentor? Do you need to find a certain friend that you can talk through some stuff with? To be accountable, whatever it is, but who do you need to connect with regularly, intentionally? Life can be really busy. One of my children are at uni now, but I've still got one at home, and family life is incredibly busy. And probably until relatively recently, children have always come first. So like my social life has gone. It's like, but actually we really need it. We need those social connections. To belong to others and to encourage us and to know that we're not alone. And as I said, ministry can be really isolating. Okay, physical resilience. What activities or physical exercise do you need to care for your body so that you are physically strengthened for the call that God has on your life? You know, if you're not getting enough sleep, that's going to impact your ability to do stuff. So sleep is important. It's a real challenge, I think, in churches, certainly in my experience, is church meetings often happen in the evening, and I've been in so many that have run over past 10. I'm like, oh, I want to go to bed, you know. And it's like, do we need to think about being a bit more boundaried in our times and saying, actually, you know what, we're gonna do less, but actually that will be more, because we'll actually all be awake. And so, you know, to think about that kind of thing, you know, am I getting enough sleep? Physical exercise is really good for stress management, and just generally physical health is good for, you know, avoiding coughs and colds. It just boosts our immune system. So thinking about what do you need to do physically just to remain strong? If we think about our mental resilience, are there any areas in your thought life that you need a fresh perspective from a spiritual lens over it? You know, are there thoughts that you struggle with, perhaps ruminate, overthink stuff? Do you need a little bit of help with and support in just addressing those? It might be with a trusted friend. But it might mean reaching out for cognitive behavioural therapy is really great, and I think it's quite biblical in the sense of you're examining your thoughts. I think it says to do that in the Bible. It's a great way of examining your thought life and thinking, okay, how would it be more, what would be a more helpful way of thinking about different things? And then, are there any difficult emotions that you need to acknowledge, express, or talk through with someone you trust? You know, are there things that you're carrying that you actually just need a bit of a confidential space to be able to talk through? And again, particularly in leadership, if you are hearing stories and you're carrying stuff, having a safe, confidential space is really important. Otherwise, you tend to soak everything up, and you can do it for so long, but eventually it will be too much, and you just can't do it anymore. So that's where so pastoral supervision can be really helpful. I know in some traditions, I know we work with the Anglican Church and the Methodists as well. They often talk about spiritual direction. So again, that reflective practice, but with we're thinking about how God, what's God saying in all of this. That's quite a lot of questions to think about. There's always more questions than answers. That's not a bad thing. And as I said, everyone will be different. So there isn't a, this is how to do it. It's thinking through what do you need at this stage in your life to grow in your resilience. So I think I'm just looking at the time and I don't want to overrun. So I'm going to skip this. I'm just going to leave you with the question perhaps. Have we got time? Just looking at the time. We've got time. Let's have a little chat. Right. Let's have a couple of minutes just to your gut kind of reaction of this is what I need to do. One thing that I would like to do to strengthen my belonging to God. So menti.com 889041 would just literally share with your neighbour one thing you would like to do to strengthen that resilience. It could be anything at all. There you go. What one thing would you like to do to strengthen your belonging to God? Just one thing. Something very doable. And then if you just share it and give you 2 minutes, okay? There you go, it'll come. Okay, we will come back together because I know after this, is it dinner time? It is, isn't it? Okay. Okay. I'm glad you're all talking because this is good stuff. But I am going to... I wish my husband was here. He's a teacher. He would be giving you the look of a teacher. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing. It's just lovely to see all the different ideas that you have for how you want to strengthen your belonging to God. Fantastic. Okay. I'm going to move on to our last... Oops. There we go. Okay. So, as we come to... We're coming to the close now. I want to share with you a quote from John Eldridge from his 30 Days of Resilience app. He says this: true resilience is imparted to us by our Creator. It flows to us through our union with God. It takes place deep in our inmost being, in our hearts. We make choices every day which either strengthen or erode that union. It's on day 21 in the morning if you get to it. It's great. So spiritual resilience is being deeply rooted in God. That is where we will find true resilience. That is God's gift to us. But to receive the gift, we must remain awake and alive to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we do that by looking after ourselves and not getting tired and weary. So sleep, exercise, good food, time with friends, etc., etc. Remain awake and alive to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now, before we go, we pause again, because there's a lot there. So I'm going to put some music on. It's going to take a moment before we leave. So take a deep breath. You've done so well. It's been a long day, and I know there's more to come. We pause and we quieten ourselves. We become aware of our breathing, deliberately breathing in and out. We take a moment to notice the things that this session has raised in us. Perhaps things to do, or to stop doing. Perhaps areas of our thought life that we need examining and rethinking with a God perspective. Perhaps issues around belonging and our attachment to God. And as we breathe out, we pray. I give everyone and everything to God. I give everyone and everything to God. We let go of the things that God has not asked us to carry, and we breathe in His peace, receiving His love and care for us. And we remind ourselves of God's truth and hear Jesus gently remind us, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And as we pause, choosing to trust in God's truth, which sets us free to love and serve Him without exhaustion, but fully alive, fully awakened in Christ. Ephesians 3:16-19 says this: I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Wish you a pleasant evening, and please do visit us on the stand.